We're going to spend much of today's show in Africa, and we'll start in the north, in Libya, which has become the centre of intense mercenary activity. An investigation by the leading German newsweekly Der Spiegel has found Turkey is paying Syrians and Sudanese fighters to prop up the UN-recognised government. But the United Arab Emirates and Russia are also paying mercenaries to support rebels. The hired guns aren't just prolonging the conflict. They've become major spreaders of the COVID-19 pandemic in northern Africa and the Middle East. Christoph Reuter is one of the Der Spiegel journalists who uncovered the story.
Theatres of conflict where you have a whole variety of mercenaries involved is clearly Libya in the first place, second Yemen, and third war Syria, although the hardcore military conflict there is largely over. But the most interesting examples clearly are Libya and Yemen at the moment.
In this climate of pandemic, do we know if these mercenaries are also helping to spread coronavirus?
Oh, absolutely, because they are the perfect super spreaders. They are traveling from place to place, wherever the front line is. Then they go back home, come again. So for Syria, for example, the first cases of corona, COVID-19 cases in regime-held parts of Syria were where you had Iranian commanders, Lebanese Hezbollah fighters, Iraqi fighters, the militias fighting on behalf of Bashar al-Assad. They were the first spreaders because they did exactly the opposite of any quarantine. They moved from Iraq back to Syria. They met with commanders from different countries. So yes, if they are a composition of fighters and commanders from various countries, and if they keep traveling, they are the perfect spreaders.
We've talked about the places where the mercenaries are active, but who are the main players in funding the mercenaries?
You have, let's say, usual suspects as Russia, who since long time has always armed and funded groups to fight on their behalf. But the new thing is that you have countries like the UAE or Saudi Arabia, especially the UAE, who never thought about using warfare, using mercenaries to win a war in a country they don't even have a border with. So for Libya, for example, we have as the biggest sponsor of the eastern Libya camp, UAE, and on the western side, the UN-recognized government, you have Turkey. So you have two Muslim countries which a few years ago had no objection, but suddenly they are at each other's throat, sending in, as the UAE people do, people from Syria, people from Sudan. And the Turks as well sent in people from Syria from their area they are controlling there. So it gets this medieval flavor of complexity.
Yeah. In Libya, you've got Turkey supporting the Prime Minister Fayez Sarraj, and you've got Russia supporting this rebel leader Haftar. Why are Turkey and Russia so interested in Libya, such that, as you say, they're at each other's throats?
You could start with the simple, let's say, classical explanation. Libya owns giant oil reserves. So it is interesting for Turkey when it comes to mining licenses, drilling licenses. For Russia, on the other side, oil is not the most urgent commodity. And for the UAE, the second big sponsor, there are not an urgent need of more oil. When you dig a bit deeper, you see that you have ideological differences that, for example, Turkey, as well as Sarraj, the Western Libyan government, they are ideologically affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood, with a movement that isn't very democratic, but it accepts democracy, it accepts the will of people to topple monarchies, which, of course, for the UAE, they don't want to have an order where the king could be toppled. Mm. Although the UAE is not in danger from Libya itself, but fighting the idea of Muslim Brotherhood in another country where this movement could take over, as in Libya, has become a centerpiece of their political hubris.
If the countries that are backing the mercenaries may be doing it, as you say, for ideological reasons, I got the very strong impression from your extensive article that the mercenaries themselves aren't necessarily ideological. A mercenary, for example, isn't necessarily a jihadi, is he?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the jihadis who joined the so-called Islamic State also fought for money, but they came in the first place because they believed in something. What we have in Libya, or what we had also in Syria before, is that we see a lot of fighters from other countries who came in for the money. The most crazy aspect in Libya is that you have Syrians on both sides of the front line who are well paid compared to the economical disaster at home, or don't have a chance to stand the will of the Turks in the northern part where Turkey controls everything. It's really like in the 30-year war, people fight as a job. They fight to survive, to earn money. They're not too keen on which side they would fight on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even in Libya, they switch if there's a chance, because the Turks pay much better than the UAE and Russia pay. So they are sometimes seem to be willing to be to surrender and to fight for the others for five times more money.
Yeah. I mean, you say point out that those who are fighting on Russia's behalf are getting about $1,000 a month. Russia also offers them something that would do any unionized German worker proud. Russia says will pay you a month's vacation every quarter.
Yeah, if fighting is becoming a profession, then you want to see your family, you want to bring home the money, because Western Union is not really strong between Eastern Libya and Northern Syria, you have to offer commodities. And it's extremely important for the other side that Turkey, which pays about $2,000 a month, that they really pay, that it's a reliable business, that there is trust, which sounds odd in this gray zone of militias, but people would not fight if they couldn't be sure that, yes, at the end of the month, the money will be paid. And if I'm dead, still, I will get at least 1, 2, 3 months payment for my family.
The problem that you identify with the mercenaries, among many, is that they prolong the conflict. How do mercenaries prolong a conflict?
You have local owners of the conflict, local strongmen, no women in these spheres, who command loyalty among their followers. If these people see that we are the minority, we are weakened, we are tired, we can't fight any longer. So they would give up, or they would be willing to negotiate, and a conflict would end by sheer exhaustion of the parties, or of the one party, but often it's both parties. So if you have the situation where basically each and every ruler, be it Haftar, be it Sarraj, can pick up the phone and call Dubai or call Moscow or call Ankara and say, sorry, but we really, really need more fighters. Otherwise, we lose and all your investment will be gone. Either they get more fighters, more ammunition, more weapons, or at least they continue to fight in the belief that they could always make this crucial call. And when you see how condescending both sides were in this peace conference in Germany last year, where, yes, they came, they showed up, they say, oh, yeah, we love peace, we will negotiate now, and did absolutely nothing of it. You see that both sides feel empowered, emboldened to keep on fighting because they know we have sponsors who don't want to lose, so they will keep supporting us.
Christoph Reuter of the German newsweekly Der Spiegel, and this is the Religion and Ethics Report.